Hi, I'm Edmundo Resendez, your host for today's Gardening Confidential, the fall two-hour edition. A wise man once said, "Life is a garden. Dig it." I often wondered if that man tried gardening in the desert. Sure, we have our challenges, but the rewards of a beautiful garden with other flowers, delicious herbs, or fruits and vegetables gives us a sense of satisfaction and accomplishment. This spring, I noticed more gardening hobbyists at local greenhouses. Around my neighborhood, gardens as far as the eye can see beautified homes. Was that a result of the coronavirus's quarantine that allowed people to take up the hobby of gardening? Maybe something good has come out of this pandemic. Let's talk gardening. Fall gardening. Yes, the successes and failures of your spring and summer gardens on KRWG's Gardening Confidential. Call in with your questions at 575-646-2212. The show is on after the news. Welcome to KRWG's Gardening Confidential, the fall edition. I'm Edmundo Resendez, your guest, your host. Actually, I'm not the guest, I'm the host for today's Gardening Confidential, the two-hour edition. We're here from until 2 o'clock answering your gardening questions. Jeff Anderson, Doña Ana County Agricultural Agent, is our special guest, as he is for every Gardening Confidential. Jeff, welcome.
Thank you, Edmundo. Glad to be here.
Now, we're doing this a little differently. We're doing this via Zoom. I was just thinking, the last time we had an actual guest in our studios was the Spring Gardening Confidential. How time has flown. Or it's almost stood still, depending on how you look at it. Jeff, talk to us. Well, for those of you that want to call in and ask your questions, join us at 575-646-2212. 575-646-2212. We want to know what you are planning for your fall garden. Share your stories of success, failures with your summer and spring garden. What grew? What didn't grow? What would you like to see grow in the fall? When is a good time to plant trees? All of that will be hopefully answered during this segment of KRWG's Gardening Confidential. I'm Edmundo Resendez. Jeff Anderson, let's kick things off with, how was the summer for gardening?
This year was not the greatest. We had the COVID, of course, that going on, so it was hard to get to the stores to buy anything or get the fertilizers maybe you needed or a compost or anything like that. So we've had to struggle with that. Top of that, then we had a smoke-filled summer with excessively hot temperatures. We didn't really seem to have the rainy season. Maybe some people got a little bit more rain, and just being dry overall. So I'm really glad that, I guess, summer is over, although summer is my favorite time of year.
Yes.
I'm glad this year it's coming to an end and we're in cooler temperatures, which is so much better for the plants.
Now, how was it earlier on in the spring? Was did it look like we were have something promising coming up? I know that I planted basil and pumpkin plants, and my basil was like a weed. It just grew beautifully, and I was able to put basil on almost everything this summer.
So some things did pretty good. Those plants that like that heat, like eggplant likes heat, the chili peppers, mine at least did really well. They like that heat. Basil, of course. But then you've got plants like tomatoes. They don't like that excessive heat. Some of the lettuces and that. So it was a struggle to keep enough water on them, keep enough nutrition in there, and keep them going. A lot of plants I had in my yard, not just vegetables, some of the things actually had leaf burn on them this year, no matter how much water I gave them.
Okay. For all the calls and social media questions, we are on Facebook Live. You can tune in and ask your questions there. We have a lot of social media questions that came in before the show even started, Jeff, and just to show the popularity of the gardening show. And you can also give us a call at 575-646-2212. All calls and social media questions will be entered into a drawing to win a $100 gift card to Sierra Vista Growers. So definitely you could do a lot with $100. So give us a call, ask your questions, or join us on social media. Jeff, we are off to some questions on the phone. We have David. David, welcome to KRWG's Gardening Confidential.
Thank you. I have a question. I have a Cleveland flowering pear tree, or kefir pear, pear, as they call it, and it's surviving, but it's not thriving. In the spring, I have good growth, but the leaves turn yellow with green veining, which is typical of iron deficiency, I believe. And I've sprayed it with chelated iron or iron chelate, which seems to help. What I think I would like to use is some ironite, but I'm afraid of putting it on. I'm afraid of burning the roots. I'm not sure I've given you enough information, but I hope so.
Well, I think you have. So ornamental pears, some of the oriental pears and some of the wood pears, all the pear group there, there's certain elements they like in the soil, and one of them is iron, like you're experiencing there, but I would not use ironite, mainly because it's a derivative of smelting process, and it contains some heavy metals in it. Your best iron to use would be EDDHA chelated iron. So that's a lot to say, but their iron comes in different forms. It comes one that's more adapted to acidic soils, one that's really works well in alkaline soils, and EDDHA works extremely well in alkaline soils. Now, on your pear tree, you could also be having a calcium deficiency, which looks a lot like a the iron deficiency, which is completely the opposite ends of the spectrum. So iron and calcium will kind of defeat each other out. But if you continue to have leaves at the tip of the growth, no matter how much iron you put on, but those leaves still turn chlorotic and white and browning, then you may be having a calcium deficiency.
Jeff, we had a social media question that came in. Actually, this was via email at feedback@nmsu.edu. Ms. Tricia Stanton, she would like to receive guidance as far as how to grow Japanese eggplants, and how does she know when they are ripe?
Okay, so I actually like growing the Japanese eggplant myself. So they're pretty easy to grow. They're a hot weather plant. They like heat, but they also need plenty of moisture. And they need really good, rich, organic soils that have a lot of nutrition in them. So what I've done for mine is I have them in raised beds, and you can follow organic practices, and you can use fish emulsion, fertilizer, and things like that, but you have to feed them quite a bit in order to get them to grow and really produce. So for some people, I may not like it. I've fed mine with Miracle-Gro, but I mean, I've got lots of eggplants. You know, I'll get one plant, I'll get like 18 eggplants coming at once.
18? Really?
Yeah. So growing good eggplant, water, good fertilizer, and plenty of sunshine and heat.
575-646-2212. 575-646-2212 is the number to call. Or you can join us on our Facebook Live page where we are live streaming the show and ask your questions there. Again, all calls and social media questions will be entered into a drawing to win a $100 gift certificate gift card to Sierra Vista Growers. Barbara wants to know, why does her cactus have white stuff? Is it mealyworms?
It's probably cochineal scale, probably on opuntias. Now, mealybugs also infect certain types of cactus, but if these are outdoor prickly pear cactus or choyas, then more than likely they have cochineal scale, and that's native to this area here. That is an insect. That's what the Native Americans would take, and they would scrape off the cactus to get that kind of a bright pinky red dye that they used.
Interesting. 575?
Sorry.
Difficult to control? Is that what
difficult
you said?
Difficult to control.
Okay. 575-646-2212. Let us go to the phone lines where we have Karen holding. Karen, welcome to KRWG's Gardening Confidential. You are on with Jeff.
Hi. Yes, I've been gardening on beds, a little bit raised, and I have a compost bin, the black heated one that you turn. And then I eventually get it the way that I want it, and I add it as an amendment to my garden. Well, this year, when I added the compost, I had things growing like watermelon and zucchini, things I didn't even plant. So my question is, did I not let the black barrel that I turned get hot enough? Because how did those seeds survive all that heat, and what did I do wrong?
Yeah, so some seeds can survive really higher temperatures, like tomato. They seem to go through a lot of processing and still make it out alive, some of the seed. But for like watermelon, if you're getting that, your temperatures didn't get hot enough in the compost to kill the seeds. But if it made good compost, that's fine. If you got the extra vegetables, that could be good or bad, depending on what you're doing.
That's so true. I mean, who doesn't want free watermelons you don't have to plant growing in your garden? Okay, then heat would have been it. All right, thank you.
Thank you, Karen. 575-646-2212. 575-646-2212. There is another number that you've heard on KRWG recently, and that's a very important number. It's 888-922-5794, 888-922-5794. That is the number to call in and make a contribution to KRWG. We are in our fall membership drive, where we have been asking you to call in to pledge your support. Let us go to Sarah Campbell, who is joining us to give us an update as far as where we are at. Sarah, we want to get back to the gardening show, but we can do it right now if we get as many calls as we can.
That's right, Edmundo. We are so, so, so close. We are just under $2,000 to go to meet our $105,000 goal. And so we've been seeing some amazing momentum today and yesterday and this week and even before then. So I know we can keep it up. We can wrap up the drive as soon as possible.
We can wrap it up today during the gardening show. If we get two people at $1,000, $83 a month, because you value the service like the gardening show. The Gardening Confidential shows that you can only find on public radio. Give us a call right now, 888-922-5794, 888-922-5794. Pledge online at krwg.org. Sarah, we'll check back with you a little bit later.
Sounds good. I think we'll have some people to thank.
And let's thank some people. Let us go to the phone lines where Ray is standing by. Ray, what's on your mind? You are on with Jeff.
Yes, I have a question. I have several date palm trees. They are small and I want to give it to one of my friends, but he has sandy soil. So I would like to kind of make a nice amendment of some organic soil or some type of thing. So when I transplant those date palm trees, I have a good soil to plant it in. So I would like to know what kind of soil amendment, fertilizer, compost, or whatever that I need, so when I dig the hole, I put that mixture there, so the date palm tree will be happy and grow happily.
How do we make a happy date plant, Jeff?
Okay. First off, I want to say is public radio is where the public meets together, where we all get together as a community.
And that's right.
Supporting that is great. As far as date palms, that's a good question. I'll tell you, date palms and most palms prefer sandy soil. So you can amend the soil in the immediate area when you first plant it, and with some compost, just generally good compost, that'll hold on to some moisture and some nutrition, but eventually those roots are going to get out into the native soil and they're going to have to make it on their own. And that's where mulching the top of the soil is actually more important, and adding some nutrition up there as it breaks down and works its way into the soil, because you can't possibly, I guess you could if you had enough money, possibly amend a tremendous huge area. Now, palm roots will grow anywhere from 12 to 15 feet deep and wide. So they're out there. They're like these grass roots and about the size of your finger out there taking up nutrition. But they should do pretty well here.
Is this a good time to transplant the date palm tree these days?
Actually, this time of year is not actually a really good time. You want to be transplanting them in April so that they have as much of a summer period to form a root system and get established before winter. And we're getting real close to the winter months now, going into fall.
Okay, so you think they will die?
They will probably suffer really bad. If I could predict the winter, You know, if we had a really mild winter, we stayed above 23 degrees, they'd probably be fine. But if we go below that, they could get burnt pretty bad, and that will set them back. It may be better at this point, depending on how big they are, if they're a present or whatever they are, is to just keep them kind of like a houseplant and get them out early in the spring, very beginning of April.
Thank you, Ray.
Okay, thank you.
575-646-2212. 575-646-2212 if you want to get in your question on KRWG's Gardening Confidential. Let us go to Elise. Elise, welcome to KRWG's Gardening Confidential. You are on with Jeff.
Yeah, hi, you guys. I live towards East Mesa, but still in Las Cruces. And I have planted my yard with a ton of native plants, including some trees. So when it got cold, even a lot of my natives looked dead, but I kind of checked a little bit, and they lost entire limbs. The one I'm most concerned about is a 15-year-old little leaf ash that now has only a little spray of green at the end of all of its branches. Is it possible it would recover, or do I need to replace it?
So when you say it got cold, are you talking about this last cold snap, or are you talking about last winter?
No, this last cold snap did it.
Oh, wow. So that should not have had any kind of effect on almost any of the plants in our area. It was very brief and not freezing, so there shouldn't have been an effect. There are several problems that could be going on there. One of them, being on the East Mesa, you could have nematodes infecting the roots, or you could have Phymatotrichum root rot, which is a cotton root rot or Texas root rot in your soil.
Okay.
Kill the plant. Or the plant didn't get enough water and nutrition. So little leaf ash is actually native more over in Arizona and probably where it gets a little more moisture than our just typical desert area right here. So one of the first things I would look at would be the moisture content. How much moisture did it get?
Okay. It's like I said, it's been 15 years there, and I actually have two more little leaf ashes. One suffered a little bit, and it's an entirely different part of the yard. And the other one is a volunteer, and it's doing fine. So it's kind of amazing to me, but yeah, I guess I'll have to check water. It looks like it's now getting adequate water, does the growth only at the tips mean forget it?
Usually growth at the tips means there's something wrong with either the way you're watering it or the root system of the plant not taking up proper water because it's shedding interior branches or interior leaves, which means there's not sufficient water to keep that, and it's trying to keep its growing tips alive, and that's generally a water issue. But you could give me an email and send me pictures, and my email address is Lantz, LANTZ, @NMSU.
Okay, we're going to announce that in just a bit. So thank you very much, Elise, for joining us on KRWG's Gardening Confidential. 646-2212, 575-646-2212. Jeff, this is a good opportunity to give out your contact information, give people time to write it down. So where can people get a hold of you?
So with COVID going on, it can be difficult to call our office since there's only two people in there at a time. And if I'm out on a house call and the other person is really busy, the call may not get answered properly. So our phone number is 575-525-6649. But my email address, I'm here all week and I look at my email. So my email address is LAN like Nancy, T like Tom, and Z like Zebra, Lance, @NMSU for New Mexico State University .edu.
Okay, thank you, Jeff. You're listening to KRWG's Gardening Confidential on 90.7 FM and KRWG.org. I'm Edmundo Resendez. Our special guest is Jeff Anderson. He is the Doña Ana County Agricultural Agent as part of NMSU. So thank you very much, Jeff, for being here. I have a question via Facebook from a person who says they live in Silver City and their oleander dies back every winter. Is there a way to prevent this?
Wrap it up. So Silver City is colder than Las Cruces, and we even get damage here. So a lot of times if our oleanders are exposed here to the wind and the cold, they're going to get freeze injury. If they're next to a wall, like a rock wall or your house, less chances. But about 19 degrees, anything below 19 or 20 degrees, you have a high probability of getting freeze damage. And I guess you end up cutting them to the ground. So the only thing you can do is wrap them up, cover them up somehow.
All right, let's go back to the phone lines. We've got Joe. Joe, welcome to KRWG's Gardening Confidential. You are on with Jeff Anderson.
Hello. Good afternoon, Jeff. So I have a couple of trees in the backyard, mostly ashes, and I have a couple of Raywood ashes, and they're about, they're planted in 2011, about a 3-inch diameter. Now they've grown pretty well. This one tree, which is on the farther northwest corner, it has been doing well till this year. It seems like half of it is dying, and the other half has very unhealthy-looking leaves. I'm not sure what's going on. I wasn't sure if I should give it another growing season to try, see if it'll recover. It seems to have the same care as the other trees as far as watering pattern and so forth. And the other thing is I did notice this tree, which I should have done when they planted it, the root ball is exposed a bit, but I understand that kind of expose or possibly exposes the tree to disease or infestation. Do you have any suggestions?
Thanks, Joe.
Yeah, so as long as it's getting proper water, I want to make sure that one, for everybody that's listening, ash trees, for the most part, are native next to rivers. They're not native out in the middle of a desert, so you got to make sure they get water, proper watering. So that's critical. The other thing is you want to make sure you're not using any kind of herbicides like weed and feed around your trees or shrubs, because that the weeding part of that is a powerful broadleaf herbicide, and that will kill your trees and shrubs. So don't use any of those anywhere near your plants. If that's taken care of that, then there was a problem this year, and it was in the newspaper. And so that had to do with a mite. And we believe it was an areophid mite attacking quite a few plants, mainly ash trees. And what happens is that the new growth comes out kind of looking like broccoli florets. And that's if it comes out. Some of it didn't even come out. So that was a real big problem, and we're investigating that this year. And working on that. Sorry, I hit the wrong button.
All right. Thank you very much, Joe. 575-646-2212. 575-646-2212. Let us go to the phone lines. Hardy, you've been patiently waiting. You are on with Jeff.
Well, hello, Jeff. Thank you. I had a question about a little baby blueberry plant that I have. It's still in its container that it was shipped to me in, and I was thinking of putting it into the ground. It's growing real well. It's got about a little 7 inches or so height to it with, maybe a dozen leaves. So is it too late to plant it in the ground, or is it okay to plant it in the ground? And if so, should I cover it for the cold winters, or should I just keep it inside in a pot it maybe for the winter? What do you think?
Blueberries in the desert, Jeff.
Blueberries in the desert are not recommended, mainly because a blueberry plant, which are native to the southeast, northeast, northwest, part of the United States, one, an acidic soil with an acid content of about 4.5 to 5. Our pH here runs 7.8 to 8.2 or even higher than that. So we're at the complete opposite end of the spectrum. I wouldn't worry about the cold. I wouldn't plant it in the ground. If you want to grow a blueberry, and I did a blueberry challenge, you need to get a great big pot. I got a 23-inch pot. And you put organic matter in the way of like peat moss in there that's acidic. And you can grow it in there, but you have to keep acidifying that soil. Possibly change it out after a couple, two years or so. if you want to keep the blueberry plant alive, try to use rainwater or distilled water, because our water and our soils have too much calcium. So it is possible in a pot. I don't think I'd do it in the ground. We had a publication out on adding acid to the water and doing it that way if you were doing a commercial operation, and it's possible, but you're working against nature here, so try and just do it in a pot.
Thank you, Hardy. 575? Yes, Hardy?
Yes, sir. Thank you. You said it's an acid plant, right?
Acid-loving plant, yes.
Okay. Thank you very much, Jeff.
All right, Hardy. 575-646-2212. 575-646-2212. Jeff, got social media questions coming in, all talking about mealybugs and spider mites. Several people have been wanting to know what's the best way to get rid of them. We had one, Leslie, who said that she has tried numerous organic methods, but unfortunately had to resort to a systemic method. What do you recommend?
So mealybugs can be very difficult. There's roof mealies that grow on the roots, especially of like cactus and some other houseplants, and then there's mealies that get up into the leaves. And a lot of times you need to resort to a systemic insecticide, but it depends on where they came from. So, you know, if you use a product like imidacloprid and you bought it from a greenhouse operation and uses imidacloprid all the time, those bugs have become resistant to imidacloprid. So then you have to do something else. And you could use like possibly acephate, but that could be toxic to the plant. So you have to investigate that. The other thing you can do is take the plant, and depending on how tender it is, you can take it out of the pot, take all the soil off and throw that soil away. Take that plant and wash it under the sink. Try and wash off all those mealybugs that you possibly can and get rid of them. If it's a taller plant, you can cut half of the plant off and get rid of the eggs and half of that that's on that, and just treat what you have left. And you can use a Q-tip with alcohol and just kind of dab each one as you see them. If it's a real valuable plant, you're going to do all these different kinds of things with chemicals and that. If it's not a valuable plant, throw it away and start over again.
Okay, this is a two-hour Gardening Confidential on 90.7 FM and KRWG.org. I'm Edmundo Resendez. Jeff Anderson is our special guest. If you want to call in, we've got open phone lines right now at 575-646-2212, 575-646-2212. All calls and social media questions will be entered into a drawing to win a $100 gift card to Sierra Vista Growers. Speaking of Sierra Vista Growers, I want to thank our sponsors for today's show. Sierra Vista Growers, showcasing the growers market, where local growers can distribute their products, happening every Saturday, 9 a.m. until noon, 2800 Highway 28 in La Union. By Mesilla Valley Hospice, serving generations of families during difficult times. Mesilla Valley Hospice is made possible through donations and the support of the entire community. Learn more at mvhospice.org. By Oregon Mountain Solar and Electric, assist residential gardeners with full-service system integrator providing solar and electric solutions through discovery, design, and installation. More information at OregonMountainSolar.com. Jeff, another social media question regarding sandy gardens. Our garden is very sandy. This is from Raymond. What would you recommend to add to make it the healthiest for the next garden? It seems like we have a blank slate, and now is the perfect time to enrich it.
So sandy soils are really great because you have the drainage, and all you have to do is add things. So adding compost. So you want to put in quite a bit of compost. It's kind of hard to say over the internet like this just how much you should put in. But you put up to a third of whatever size you've got that you're working with. Work that in really well, especially this time of year. I know if you're being organic, then you might want to look at adding things like organic products like green sand or bone meal, depending on what you need. But you might want to do a soil test first to see what you need. And you can get that from a reputable lab, and they're not very expensive. Good garden compost, like I said, is great. monitoring it. I also like using biosolids from the sewage treatment plant because they contain all the micronutrients. Some people are willing to use them, some people aren't. If you're opposed to it, don't use them. But they do contain trace elements. People try to equate them maybe with horse manure or cow manure. They're not the same. They don't contain the same amount of nutrients.
All right, let's go to our phone lines where Chris is standing by. Chris, welcome to KRWG's Gardening Confidential. You are on with Jeff Anderson.
Hi, Jeff. Thank you for taking my call. I'm here in Mesilla, and I have a tree question. It's actually, I have a couple different trees. One is a Chautauqua, and I'm finding that the leaves that were so vigorous earlier in the summer are starting to all get a little yellow and drying up from the tips in and then falling off. I'm getting some new growth coming out, but everything that was so vigorous just a couple months ago is drying up and falling off and looking bad. Is there some particular thing, or can I cut this back a little bit? Would it benefit to keep it from getting kind of long and straggly?
Thank you, Chris.
So this is for everybody. Do not plant Chautauquas. Chautauquas have a disease called Xylella. From the moment you bought the tree, every cell within that plant is infected with Xylella. And it's only a matter of time before the disease manifests itself. And when it manifests itself, you'll see brown spotting of the leaves. They'll turn yellow and they'll fall off just like you described. If you keep the tree longer, eventually the whole bark starts splitting off of the tree. It literally comes right off. And then it starts rotting. So not a good tree for our area. It may work out in cooler climates where the disease doesn't manifest itself, but not a good tree. You can cut it to the ground. For about a year or two, it'll come up and it'll be vigorous and look healthy, and then the disease will start manifesting itself again.
Jeff Anderson is our special guest on today's Gardening Confidential. I'm Edmundo Resendez. We are here answering your questions about your garden, as we are here every week on Voice of the Public with different topics. This is one of my favorite shows that we've added on KRWG, the Gardening Confidential. Jeff Anderson can remember that one time when I walked into his office and said, Jeff, I've got an idea for doing a show about gardening in the desert. And at the time, Jeff said, let's go for it. Let's do it. And Jeff, if you remember at the time, we only did it for 1 hour. It was a 1 hour show. And you suggested, it's like, maybe we should do one in the fall. And because the 1 hour was so popular, we decided to expand it to 2 hours. And Jeff, the reason we can do this is because we are public media. We are not beholden to corporate businesses to say, you can't have a gardening show. That does not gain audience. We are public media. Because you value this service, because you value shows like The Gardening Confidential, we are reaching out to you to help support it. 888-922-5794, 888-922-5794 is the number to call. We are literally under $2,000 to go. Sarah Campbell is joining us with an update. Sarah, we are so close, and as soon as we hit that $2,000 goal, we are done. We move on to regular programming.
That's right. Once we hit our goal of $105,000, we're done. We're going to end the drive. So the sooner we can do it, the sooner we can, you know, get off the airwaves and get back to what you want to hear.
And that is programs like The Gardening Confidential. 888-922-5794. 888-922-5794. You know, Sarah, we've heard from a lot of people that value the service that KRWG provides to our community.
That's right, Edmundo, and I have some people to thank. So let me just get started with that. We've got several people from Las Cruces, John Fitch, and Julie Schmidt, who also says that her radio is always tuned to KRWG. She especially looks forward to Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me on Saturdays, and she appreciates the honest news. We've got some anonymous folks in Las Cruces, including a sustaining member. And one of them said, you know, we so appreciate KRWG. We enjoy the programming, but most of all, the local, national, and global news coverage. Thank you.
All right, Sarah, we'll check back with you a little bit later. Again, we're so close, folks. We are so close. I can almost taste it. I can feel it. We can make our goal this afternoon with your pledge of support. 888-922-5794. Sarah, we'll check back with you in just a bit. Let's go back to our phone lines. Maria, welcome to KRWG's Gardening Confidential. What's on your mind, Maria?
Thank you. I just have a question about the plant called ice. I'm using that to instead of grass because I'm lazy to cut the grass. So my question is when on the summer, like July, August, I noticed that the ice in some parts, it gets so dry, and then it dies on that area. So my question is, what can I do so that don't happen?
Okay, so ice plant. It didn't originate in the desert here. So our sun is just really intense, and there isn't a whole lot that you can do to stop those brown patches you get in your ice plant. The only thing you can do is when you get them is cut out the infected area and replace them with some new sprigs if you want to keep it full. Generally what causes it, if water gets trapped under there, it can start a rotting process because those are succulent leaves that are full of water. And if they start rotting, then you get a big rotten spot. And our sun, like I said, is like this lens. It's like if you took a magnifying glass and held it above the plant, certain spots, for whatever reason, they call it melting out and will just melt out. And like I said, the only way you can deal with it is trim that out of there and replant some in that spot.
Okay. All right. I can do that. Well, thank you very much for your answer.
Thank you, Maria.
And thank you for the program. It's all very right. Useful.
Thank you very much, Maria, for joining us on KRWG's Gardening Confidential, where we are coming to you until 2 o'clock. But get in your questions right now for Jeff Anderson. Again, all calls and social media questions will be entered into a drawing to win a $100 gift card to the folks over at Sierra Vista Growers. So you definitely want to get in your call. You can also join us on social media where we are taking your calls on Facebook Live. And you can get in your questions and join us there. Let's go back to our phone lines where we have, let me see, who do we have? Chris, welcome to KRWG's Gardening Confidential. What's on your mind?
Hi. Actually, I called a minute ago about my chautauqua tree, but I had a second part to the question, and my phone line got cut off.
Oh, no.
My other problem tree is, and actually, I think I bought it from Sierra Vista, was a, you know, I asked them for, you know, a cottonwood or something like that, and the tree, as it's grown up, kind of looks more like a poplar, and I know they're so similar, but it's kind of a weeping variety instead of what I was intending. But the question really is that it just doesn't appear to be thriving. As I look at it here, easily two-thirds of the leaves have dropped off already. And what I'd expect more in October, I'm wondering if there might be something wrong with that or just what the deal was. Okay. Two problem trees in one yard. What a deal.
And where did you say you were living again?
I'm in Mesilla.
Mesilla, okay. So cottonwoods normally go by the river, so they like lots of water. So I'm going to just make a statement. Your tree is young, but a mature cottonwood uses 250 gallons of water per day. That's a lot of water.
So yeah, that's a lot of water. It's getting water pretty regularly, but
yeah, they are also very short-lived here, 20 years or so, and it's because of our milder winters here. But one of the things with poplars is that early in the year or in the summer, when they start getting drought stressed, and you may not know, you may think you're giving enough water, but it's how fast the root system can pick it up and move it through the tree. If it can't do that fast enough, even though it's got water, it's going to start shedding leaves. It's just its natural defense against drought is to drop some of those leaves to keep itself alive. There can also be a myriad of other soil problems going on, different fungi or different things like that, but probably not at this point. It's just probably an environmental stress that you're experiencing right now.
Okay, we've got some. Yes, sir.
Can I? I have it on irrigation, and I unfortunately it's not irrigated independently of some other things, including my problem Chitalpa. But can I, stick a hose out there and just off my house and run a trickle of water on it every so often to give it an additional boost of H2O there? Will that help it out in the long run?
You could, but it's a little late this year. And right now, yeah. My suggestion would be for you to give me a call. Right this minute, because I'm on the show. Call me later or email me, and because I need to go into it much deeper in depth than what I'm doing on the radio show here.
Okay, thank you very much. I really appreciate it, and I love the show, and I love KRG.
Thank you, sir. All right, 575-646-2212, 575-646-2212, or join us on social media where we are taking your calls, where we are taking your questions or comments. Speaking of social media, Courtney wants to know, how does she care for a large aloe plant that she was given? Right now it is gray, but she also does not want to overwater it.
So right now it's gray, like G-R-E-Y, gray color.
Gray color. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So gray is an okay color for an aloe plant. So if they're getting enough sunlight, they'll turn kind of a gray or even a purplish color. And I hear a lot of times people say, it's not green anymore. Something's wrong with it. It's just anthocyanins and other chemicals building up in the leaf from the photosynthates that it's producing. So basically, they're not really cold hardy outside here. They are from Africa, so they need some protection. I've seen them planted out here right up against the house, and they kind of make it if you cover them up. But generally, you keep it in a pot. You don't want to give it as much sunlight as you can. Do not overwater it because they will rot. You can let them go dry for a long time. You know, they can go dry for 3-4 months and not have a problem. The biggest problem that people have with aloes is overwatering them. And if you have problems growing it in the house, put an LED light on it in the winter.
We have a social media question from Diana on Facebook who says, pomegranate fruits take a long time to ripen and rot quick. They cut back on water but still can't figure out what's going on.
So to get good, full, big-sized pomegranates, you want to limit it to how many are on the tree first off, or bush. But then if you do all that with watering it to increase the size and keep it there, about August, these leaf-footed plant bugs come along, and you may see them on the pomegranates. And they're almost like a mosquito in a way. They have a proboscis that they poke into the fruit, and when they do that, they produce toxins and they introduce bacteria into the fruit. And generally, that's what's causing the fruit to rot. So sometime in the beginning of August, you need to start checking your pomegranates, whether those insects are around, because they're going to cause that fruit to rot. And so you need to deal with the insect.
All right, let's go.
They'll be fine.
Okay, let's go back to the phone lines where we have Andy standing by. Andy, welcome to KRWG's Gardening Confidential. You are on with Jeff.
Yeah, hi, Jeff. I'm out here in far east El Paso in the Waco Mountains, and I had a question about creosote and mesquite trees. I've been told that both of those are allelopathic, and I'm curious if that's true, and if so, why?
So creosote can be allelopathic from the resins that are in the leaves and the other chemicals that are there, and as those fall over time, as litter on the ground, they kind of prevent the seeds of other plants from growing around them. That way they survive and take the water and that kind of item. But if you water around those plants, you can leach those chemicals out. That would help the plant, but you don't want to overwater. mesquite, now I haven't heard that they were allelopathic to other plants. They put out a lot of roots, and they can put out sometimes a lot of shade, and that may inhibit other plants, but I don't think they're allelopathic.
Andy?
Cool. Thanks for the information.
All right. Thank you, Andy, for joining us on KRWG's Gardening Confidential. We've got Laura waiting. Laura, welcome to KRWG's Gardening Confidential. You are on with Jeff. And I think we lost Laura. Laura?
Silver City.
Oh, there you go, Laura. Welcome.
Yeah. I'm in Silver City, and I wanted to know how the Afghan pine might do up here. Does it get too cold?
So Silver City is quite a bit like Albuquerque in a way, and they can grow Afghan pines in Albuquerque, so I would presume you could grow them there pretty easily.
Okay. Could you recommend a deciduous tree for here that is low water, you know, once I get it established after a few years of establishing watering? My yard is only, the street is 20 feet from the house, so I can't get a tree that has a real invasive root system, I don't think, a real huge root system.
Okay, so I would look into probably a male, I'm saying male, not a female, a male Chinese pistache tree, so it doesn't produce too much litter. Or one of the oaks. You know, there are a number of oaks that are pretty deep-rooted and would do beautifully in your area.
Okay. Is there an oak that's faster growing than other oaks?
If oaks grow really well, if they have a good root system and it's not twisted up in the pot, so most oaks will grow at least 2 to 3 feet a year.
Mm-hmm.
But you should be able to grow a red oak there. I know your county agent right in Silver City, Judy, can help you.
Okay. And another question. Is a chinaberry tree invasive?
No, they're not invasive, but they produce a lot of litter.
Okay.
The chinaberries that come down, you can get several hundred pounds of those.
Wow.
Oh, okay. Could you compost the stuff, or would little trees sprout out of your berries?
I haven't really seen berries sprout that easily. There has to be enough moisture around for them to really get to sprouting.
Okay, good. Thank you very much.
Laura, thank you very much for joining us on KRWG's Gardening Confidential. This show goes on until 2 o'clock, so for those of you that have been wanting to call in, call right now at 575- 646-2212, 575-646-2212. Jeff, what lawn fertilizer, Mary wants to know, is right for this time of year?
So a lawn fertilizer that's a little higher in potassium and low in nitrogen, but and this is going to sound contrary to what I just said, but there was a fertilizer made here called 1688. And that's a good general purpose fertilizer for almost any of your situations, for your tree, shrubs, or lawn. But, lower nitrogen, a little bit higher on the potassium side for the winter.
What's a good tree? You're very big on the pistache tree.
Getting overplanted.
I'm sorry?
I'm afraid it seems like it's getting overplanted.
But
do have two types.
Okay. What two types are there?
So there's basically the Chinese pistache, which has been planted all over the city. But we do know that the male tree is preferred, and there's one called Keith Davy. It turns beautiful red, and it's male, so you're not going to get seedlings coming up all over it. The other one is a totally different species. It's the red push pistache, and it's a hybrid between two. One of them's from North Africa, and it has real deep green leaves. And it's used as a pistachio nut rootstock, but it makes a beautiful shade tree. And they're both extremely drought tolerant.
All right. Thank you, Jeff. 575-646-2212. We're going to go to Sarah Campbell to give us an update for our fall membership drive. Sarah, we are so close to reaching our goal. 888-922-5794. 888-922-5794. KRWG.org. Sarah, you've been here for going on a year now. What do you enjoy the most about our membership drives?
You know, one of the most powerful things to me is actually the web comments that people leave. And I have to tell you, Edmundo, we have been getting quite a number of those in the, not only for this membership drive, but just over the past 6 months as we've kind of pivoted like the world has to, you know, help bring everybody in our community the information and the news and the resources they need to keep track of all of these, you know, huge, huge events in our lives and in our world. And so that's been something that's been really meaningful to me, is to just hear from, you know, the people who make public media possible about the how much appreciation and fondness they have and what a difference that has made in their lives.
You know, Sarah, we're so close to our overall goal of $105,000. Now, we've been saying this for quite some time now. As soon as we hit the goal, we wrap up the pledge drive. We're not going to continue with it. We're just going to end it. How far off are we?
So in Mundo, right now we are sitting at 98% of our goal. We are so, so, so close. And we have a $1,935 to go.
$1,935. We can do it, folks. It takes that pledge of support right now. You've been wanting to call in and make your support. Now would be an awesome time to do it. And here's why. This support will let KRWG know that you value programs like the Gardening Confidential, that you want programs like this to continue on KRWG. Give that support right now, $10 a month. Is KRWG worth $10 a month? We certainly think so. And we know that you do so as well. With your contribution of $10 a month, that's $120 a year. It goes a long way in letting KRWG know that you value the service that we provide to our community. 888-922-5794. 888-922-5794. You know, we started out this drive on Monday. We were $30,000 away from reaching our overall goal of $105,000. And little by little, we've been chipping away at it, Sarah.
Yeah, it's been amazing. And Edmundo, I also want to mention, people can call that number, but they can also go online to krwg.org and give that way. So if you're sitting in front of your computer, if you're on your phone, that may be a more convenient way for you to give.
888-922-5794, 888-922-5794. Again, we're going to continue with KRWG's Gardening Confidential in just a bit, but we really need to hear from you. We need your support. We want to wrap up the drive. We're so close, $1,935 away from reaching our goal. We can do it. Come on, let's do it. You've been wanting to do it. Give us a call right now, 888-922-5794, 888-922-5794, krwg.org. You know, Sarah, I actually enjoy our membership drives because this gives us an opportunity to really hear from our listeners and find out what they enjoy the most about KRWG.
That's right. That's right. And, you know, there's a special kind of energy that happens during the membership drive week too. And it's been incredible because I still feel that energy, even though I'm not in the studio and haven't been on campus at KRWG for several months now. But I can still feel it even through Zoom. So it's contagious.
It is contagious. It is contagious. It's it's a wonderful kind of contagious, not contagious to the plants, but contagious to us here at KRWG. 888-922-5794. 888-922-5794. Again, if it is within your means, consider giving at the $1,000 level. That's $83 a month. With that contribution, you'll be able to ensure the future of public media. Think about how great it felt to discover public media right here in Las Cruces, in Silver City, in Hatch, Alamogordo, Deming. Give us a call right now. Do your part for public media. 888-922-5794. 888-922-5794-KRWG.org. There's a wonderful sense of calmness, Sarah, when a contribution is made to KRWG because you've been meaning to do it. And once you do it, all that weight falls off your shoulders because you have taken ownership of public media.
That's right. And it sounds different when you invest in your local public media, when you invest in your local public radio station, KRWG, because of exactly what you just said, that sense of ownership, that sense of pride that you are truly a part of this public service and you're making it possible for everybody in our area to be able to enjoy that programming, get that information, get that news, learn about gardening. I'm certainly learning a lot right now, and just make everything possible on KRWG.
We're coming up on 1 o'clock. It is 1 o'clock. This is KRWG Las Cruces, KRXG Silver City. Jeff, we're going to check back with you after the news. You're going to hang around for another hour answering your gardening questions. Give us a call right now. Pledge your support. We're less than $2,000 away. We can do it, but it can only happen with your support. 888-922-5794.